Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, November the 7th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And we will be reading from the Big Book on page 163, fourth paragraph at the bottom of the page, so our fellow worker will soon have friends galore, through one paragraph ending, if he can and will. The comments will be on that one paragraph only. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Alex K., the 12 Traditions, Betsy H. The readers of the text are Dana P., and we're going to have Shelley E. The share ID for Monday, November the 6th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,807. That's 20807. And for this morning's meeting, Tuesday, November the 7th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,809. That's 20809. Our newcomer greeter is Larry G., and our announcements person is Robin P. Thank you all for your service this month. Overeaters Anonymous, this is our preamble, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience strength, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. Supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Now, here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Alex K. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Mo. Alex K., compulsive eater in California, gratefully living in recovery for today. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you very much, Alex K., and I will now ask Betsy H. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning. This is Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader from California. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Betsy H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 163, the fourth paragraph down. So our fellow worker, it begins with, so our fellow worker will soon have friends galore, and it ends on the top of page 164, if he can and will. And I will now ask Dana P. to get us started. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Mo. It's Dana P. in California. It's so amazing to be back on the meeting here and being of service. So 164, bottom of the page here. So our fellow worker will soon have friends galore. Some of them may sink and perhaps never get up. But if our experience is a criterion, more than half of those approached will become fellows of Alcoholics Anonymous. When a few men in the city have found themselves, they have discovered the joy of helping others. To face life again, there will be no stopping until everyone in the town has his opportunity to recover, if he can and will. Oh my goodness, there's so much packed in here in this paragraph. And I'll start with the first word fellow worker. What is a fellow worker? That's those of us that reach out to help. And it's my job, you know. This recovery is my job. And to be of service to others is my job. I have a job that I go to, but this is my real job, you know, to be of service to God and his kids. And then the next word that comes up for me is friends. You know, I came into this program looking for friends. And funny thing is, I didn't even really know what that was. I thought it was somebody who was going to agree with me, that was going to commiserate with me, that was going to go along with whatever I had to say, do the things I did, and essentially be like me. So I went and looked it up in the dictionary, actually, and it says that a friend is a person whom one knows and with whom one has a mutual affection, exclusive of sexual or family relations. And then the one that really rang my bell was a familiar or helpful thing. And that's what our program talks about, you know, friendship. And how is it that I'm a familiar and helpful thing? For me, familiar. Well, we have this thing in common, you know, this food thing, whatever that is, the addiction, the disconnect. And when I came in here, I was so isolated and alone and disconnected from everyone. And I still have a tendency to want to go there. And so what is a friend? What is a helpful thing? It's that person that helps me and or shares with me the truth and what is honest. And essentially what it comes down to as a sponsor for me in the interest of time is to find a way with the help of God, because that's where my answers come from, not from what I think. I'm not in the outcome business. But handing that person's hand into the hand of God, I have no other way of being of service except to go to that place, that familiar place that's inside of me, as our book says, deep down within every man, woman, and child. Each and every one of us has access to the answers to every single problem that occurs in our lives. I have no answers to anyone else's problems. So I'm here to support. One of my defects is that I think I'm a savior and I'm going to fix all the problems. I heard somebody call it Outcomes Anonymous. You know, I'm so invested in what I think is right and how it's going to be. And that is not my role. My role is to assist that person so that they can get the answers from deep down inside. And so I'm going to pass with that. I could say a lot more about this paragraph, and I'm really excited to hear what other people have to say this morning. So thanks, Mom. I'm going to pass.
Well, thank you, Dana P., for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And we are at the bottom of page 163, so our fellow worker will soon galore. Ends on the top of page 164 with if he can and will. I'll now take the list of names of those who'd like to share.
Hi, this is Samantha I.
Samantha I. Anyone else?
Chris S.
Here. Chris S. I got you, Chris. Anyone else? Okay, so we'll go with those two to get started. Samantha I, followed by Chris S. Good morning, Samantha.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Samantha from New Mexico, and I am still a newcomer on this meeting here, and I feel very grateful to have found friends in the fellowship who have guided me to this meeting to start my day. And similar to what was just said, I'm going to piggyback off a little bit. You know, this program is really just amazing. It's just an amazing fellowship. Me as a newcomer, when I announced I was a newcomer, the outpouring that I received, voicemails, texts, all of that, made me feel really just at home to a brand new place. So I so appreciate that. And in my meeting that I secretary with someone else, I have made friends galore, like this says here, and that's all because we share a common bond and have really gotten to know each other over the years, and it's just an amazing place to be. I just have to utilize my friends more in the program for support, and that's where I lack in those hard triumph moments when I want to binge. I am not using the tools and not reaching out to my sponsor, not reaching out to my friends galore, and which I do have, there's a disconnect for me. And I am still very much in the food here and then, and just that hamster wheel that I so desperately want to get off of. But I'm not giving up, and I know what I need to do. I know I need to bring my higher power into this more and continue to read from this big book, which are my new friends in this meeting, are telling me is you know, what works for them. And I keep hearing it from all of you on this meeting. When I tune in, every one of you says the same thing. It's this book. The instructions are in this book. So I've heard you. I just need to do it. And I'm not giving up because I'm worth it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Samantha I. Yes, keep coming back. And Chris S., after Chris, we'll take another lineup. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Chris S. in Washington. We've had all these pages of instructions. I've had all these pages of instructions, and now I get to this chapter of vision for you. And starting at the bottom of this page 163, going to the end of page 164, I just find promise after promise after promise. And it starts right there in that first sentence. So our fellow worker will soon have friends galore. That's a promise. I will have friends galore in this fellowship. Another promise. More than half of those approached will become fellows of the Alcoholics Anonymous. There's another promise. If I'm willing to give up the food, if I'm willing to follow these instructions in all my affairs, if I'm willing to trust in God, this will happen. It is a promise. Next page, page 164. That top line. I will have discovered the joy of helping others. Another promise, because that's what's going to keep me abstinent, and that's what's going to keep me in that joyous, happy, and free, told to us on page 133. And then another promise here. In that town has had the opportunity to recover if he can and will. If I can follow these steps, if I can keep the food down, if I continue to reach out, there's an opportunity for so much life, another promise. And what a gift, what a great gift, and I treasure it every moment of the day. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Chris S., and I will let everybody know where we're at. We're at the bottom of page 163, so our fellow worker will soon have friends galore, and ending at the top of page 164. If he can and will, and I will now take another lineup of names of those who'd like to share. Good morning. Who would like to share?
Diane in Chicago.
Diane in Chicago.
Noreen C., Massachusetts.
Noreen C. Gotcha.
Yvonne A. in BC, Canada.
Good morning, Yvonne. Yvonne A.
Good morning.
Okay, I have Diane. I have
Robin P. in Georgia.
Robin P. Gotcha, Robin. We'll take a few more. Anybody want to get in there?
Marilee
okay.
W., Colorado.
Gotcha, Marilee. Okay, we'll stop.
WF.
Oh, okay. Wendy, was that a Wendy M?
No, it's Chevy. Chevy F from New Jersey.
Oh, Chevy F. God, I didn't get that right at all.
No problem.
Okay, we'll stop there. Yeah, we'll stop there. Chevy F. Oh, my cat just walked all over my knees. Okay, I have Noreen. No, I have Diane. I have Noreen, Yvonne A, Robin P, Marilee W, and Chevy S. Okay, Noreen, Diane, you're up first. Give us the first initial of your last name, Diane.
Thank you. This is Diane MC in Chicago, and first time visiting your group, and I'm homesick, so I can't talk too much, but there is one thing I wanted to share of. Where it says, helping others to face life together. And that just really stuck out to me today, how that's been such a gift to this program, to be there for others and for me to not just have to suffer through life and the struggles and the heartaches alone, that I can call program person and be reminded of one of our steps, one of our our slogans, whatever, that I don't have to face life alone. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane M.C. Get well soon. Noreen C., followed by Yvonne A. Good morning, Noreen.
Yes, good morning, Mo, and good morning to everybody. Thank you, everybody, for your service. What a great paragraph. So our fellow worker will soon have friends galore. When I came in because I could not stop eating. I wasn't thinking about friends galore, but the friends in this program are friends like no other. You know, friends that will be with you through thick and thin in all situations that you can call morning, noon, and night. It's just such an astounding and wonderful gift. And their friends, you know, by phone, their friends by text. It just is such a tremendous gift, and I'm so grateful. In the next line, some of them may sink and perhaps never get up, but if our experience is a criterion, more than half will become fellows of AA or OA. Or, you know, or NA, you know, to go from the hell that we have experienced to freedom and to not only freedom, but to a life of meaning. So when we get up in the morning, our life has meaning, really deep meaning. And we know that we are God's workers, so to speak. And, you know, I've heard that saying, God is never outdone in generosity. So we go forward, but then God blesses us even more. You know, the joy of helping others face life again. You know, it's just so beautiful. And there will be no stopping until everyone in that town has the opportunity to recover, if he can and will. So in the mystery of recovery, you know, how does it work and when does it come? All I know is I wake up an addict and I need this program and I need all of you. So I'm going to keep coming, and I'm going to keep listening. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Noreen C. Up next is Yvonne A., and followed by Robin P. Good morning, Yvonne.
Oh, good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. So happy to be here, part of this fellowship with my friends galore. And that just stands out so much for me. I came into this program. It's not that I didn't have friends. But I did not have friends who I ever discussed my true feelings, my difficulties, the things that I was having a hard time facing. I never thought I could tell people when I was struggling. And so what an absolute gift it is for me to come here and to make friends within this fellowship. Who are here for me, and I am there for them. I've also been able to be there for people, and sometimes that's just to sit quietly together and know that we're not alone, and for other times, we're able to turn our attention to something else completely, to laugh, to, you know, remember, and not to take ourselves quite so seriously. I had a situation the other day with a family member. It had been eating and eating and eating away at me. And I'd done a 10-step on it, and I hadn't shared it, but I knew I had a call up coming to share it. And what a difference after I had talked to a fellow who could give me the compassion that I wasn't finding for myself in that moment, but who could also show me that I was putting far, far, far too much power and weight into that person's hands and not into my higher power's hands. So that, to me, is the absolute joy of having somebody who helped me, and I hope that I am able to help others when they reach out to me to do the very same thing. And, you know, the last line, it says that... that everyone basically has the opportunity to recover if he can and will. I don't know, you know, it says if he can. I think we all can. It just takes time for some of us to get to that place where we're able to open our hearts and our minds to something different. So, you know, I just want to encourage everybody not to give up, whether you're in relapse, whether you're brand new, or whether you're having, you know, you're in those pink cloud days. We all are going to go through those ups and downs of good days and bad days, but we're all here for each other, helping each other through life. That's what life is. And with that, I pass, Mo. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Yvonne A. Up next is Robin P., followed by Marilee W. Good morning, Robin.
Thanks so much, Mo, and everyone who makes this meeting possible. My name is Robin P., and I'm a really grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Savannah, Georgia. And today is my 65th birthday, and I'm coming up on 8 years of abstinence by God's grace and mercy. And I'm so grateful and so blessed. And all of this paragraph is so true, you know. And I'm just so grateful for all of you. I have so many friends, and I have so many friends texting me. And I was just on a prayer call with friends. And, I mean, wow, I was so isolated in the food. Oh, my gosh, I had no friends, hardly. And I was so alone. And it's like I always felt like I was a sheep on the outside of the fold, and I was really vulnerable to the wolf. And now I feel like I'm in the center of the fold, and I feel so grateful. And this weekend I was at a conference all day from 7 in the morning till 10 at night, Friday, Saturday, and most of Sunday, and here in Savannah, with something I'm very passionate about, and with warrior people who are just doing everything they can to do the right thing. And it was so inspiring to me. And I was so grateful to be abstinent, even though I was exhausted. And God just shows me, like, just, you'll have friends galore. Wow. Because when I'm abstinent and recovered, I can show up the things that I felt afraid to show up to. And food was my God, and it never worked. If it did, I wouldn't be here. And also discovering the joy of helping others to face life again. It's, you know, trudging the road of happy destiny together and facing life on life's terms with God and our fellows. Together we can, and alone I couldn't. And, you know, I'm so grateful that food is my medicine today. Food was my poison, and food today, I'm an organic, gluten-free vegan, and my food heals my body, and it used to poison me. It's a miracle from God, the whole thing. And I never have to do anything alone again, and no one has to do anything alone again. And, you know, I always remember that isolation and illness begin with I, and wellness begins with we. And the more we I have, the better I do. And God bless everybody with a really blessed afternoon day I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Robin P. Up next is Marilee W., followed by Chevy F., and after Chevy, I will get a new lineup of people. Marilee, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mo. Happy birthday, Robin. I am grateful to be here, and I take my son to school around this time, and I get to listen to this meeting. But I dropped him off, and I'm sitting in the middle. I live up in the Rocky Mountains, and I'm looking at this beautiful mountain range. And I will tell you that when I, you know, a while back, I couldn't see the beauty of the mountains. And I definitely could not feel one of my pieces of my soul sickness is not feeling that I have any friends. And it really, I think the big book talks about that we know loneliness as few do. And when I let go of my alcoholic foods, which wasn't me, it was God, but I really felt that place. Like, I felt so lonely. And I know today that that's part of my disease, and I can still go there. So when I would read pieces of the big book that talked about we or friends, it just made me inside. And anyways, this program works for all of us, and it works for me too. And it works for me even if I feel separate in the fellowships. So with that being said, it says that will or cannot, if he can and will. And I believe it talks about that in other places of the book as well. So it's really the food that brought me to my knees. Like, I couldn't control the amounts I was putting in my body of thought foods that I even thought were good for me. And then I would try to get abstinent, and I would go back out again and again and again. But I kept coming back, and I kept listening to this meeting. So again, thank you to everyone. But it's in that place within step one that when I come to this place of a deep, whatever it is, to keep moving forward in the steps and put the steps first, which inevitably is God, higher power, spirit, but very much like, okay, what do I need to do next? What do I need to do next? That it's that place that brings me to having the friendship and the fellowship. When I put this first, this program of action that saved my life, that saves my life today, and not only from the food, but from that loneliness as few know. When I pick up that phone for somebody else or work with somebody one-on-one or be of service on a meeting, even though I don't want to, and I'm crying and I'm like, oh, my family doesn't show up the way that I want them, or, you know, I'm just a big piece of yuck. And really wanting this place from other people of approval, validation, and support. But when I stop grasping for that, then it comes. So that's what I have.
Well, thank you very much, Marilee. And before I take Chevy F, let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 163, the fourth paragraph down. So our fellow worker will soon have friends galore, and it ends on the top of page 164, if you can and will. And after Chevy F, I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Chevy.
Hi, it's Chevy F from New Jersey, and I'm very grateful to hear everyone shares. So I love this paragraph of what I heard. I love that there's such a beautiful balance of in the traditions, how, you know, we don't put ourselves onto others, we don't impose the 12 steps, we don't advertise it, but yet it comes from such an altruistic, genuine place of, I want to help you. I know the pain you're in. If you want help, if you're, you know, so it's not lacking conviction or determination or, you know, so I mean, this is just reminding me of something I was thinking about yesterday, where I was thinking about, there's a balance, like I say with my seventh step prayer, where I tell God, take all of me, the good and bad, because I don't even know how to use the good. And I'm thinking about that now, thinking like, when I reach out to others, when I want to be of help, that's such a delicate dance. It's such a delicate dance to be of service in the right way. And therefore, I just give it to God, you know, the good of wanting to help someone out of their suffering that I know so well, and at the same time realizing that I don't have control. It's their life. They're perfect as they are, and, you know, even if they're suffering. So I just find it so beautiful that there's a real goal, there's a direction, there's a conviction, there's a due diligence, but there's no stress on the outcome. I mean, there's no, that's not, that we don't set out because of, I don't set out because of the outcome. I set out because of my duty. And that's just, so it's just, it's so special that, that there is that high level of altruism. And I have to say, when it comes to my friends galore, there's something so I so appreciate picking up the phone to someone in OA is that, you know, there are certain unwritten and understood and shared rules about how we interact. And, you know, even if I'm sharing a deep resentment, and I think the reason I can share it with someone and be vulnerable is because I know that they're here to, you know, they're here to help me. They're not here to be judgmental. They're not here to offer advice unless I ask them. And even if they will offer it, they'll ask me before. For the most part, there really is such a beautiful, unwritten, you know, shared understanding. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much, Chevy F. And let me Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to share on this paragraph, the bottom of page 63. Who was that?
Donna L. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
That's okay. Donna L.
Alex K.
Alex K.
Michelle S.
Michelle S. Was that an S?
S is Sam.
Okay, thanks.
Venusia B.
Let me see. Hang on. Lost my computer power. Tanisha.
Venusia B.
Okay. Okay, Luann. Gotcha.
Annabelle Z.
And Luann. All right, we may better stop there. I don't know if we'll have enough time. So Luann C. Okay, so we have Donna L., Alex K., Michelle S., Tanisha B., and Luann C. I hope I have time for all of you, but if not, come back tomorrow. All right, Donna L., begin, please.
Hi, this is Donna L., recovered for today in Florida. And thank you, Mo, for all your service. You're always there. You were there for me when I needed to talk, even though you're such a busy person doing service. Thank you. The one thing that stood out to me, page 164, and the top of that, discover the joy of helping others. So if you're new to this program, you may be like I was. I got on here and called others because I needed help, because I didn't know how to change my life and I didn't know how to stop eating. But when I did get that behind me and I had help and experience, I wanted to share it with everyone. I wanted to shout it from the rooftop. Helping someone else is like one of my sponsors put it one time. It was like what it used to be like sitting ready to have a half gallon of ice cream. That is not my pleasure anymore. Helping someone is like walking on air. I'm so glad when someone does an outreach call. I love to pick up the phone. I love to talk. I love to share anything that I can share with them. And another thing someone told me was she didn't like to hear people say they don't have self-esteem. And that's where I was. I didn't think I had self-esteem. And the reason for that is she said that when you start helping others, that's where you'll get your self-esteem. And she was exactly right. Once I started helping, I felt good about myself. I thought, wow, I have some value because of my higher power, my sponsors, and this program. I feel good. I have the self-esteem that I never had before. And I love doing this. And don't ever feel bad about calling someone, because we all want you to call. If we leave our number, it's because we welcome your outreach calls. So thank you so much for letting me share today.
Thank you, Donna L. Next is Alex K., followed by Michelle S. Good morning, Alex.
Morning. Thanks, Mo. Thanks, everyone, for being here doing service. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, gratefully living in recovery for today. I'm looking at the line that says, discovered the joy of helping others. I have a new purpose in life. I never felt a sense of purpose before. For a lot of my life, I felt aimless and often wondered, why am I here? What's the point of my life? Now I know that what I need to do is help my fellow compulsive eaters. All of my past experience of struggling and suffering in this disease and my experience more recently of being relieved of the food obsession and compulsion and living in peace, all that is an asset that allows me to be of service, to share a message of hope, whether it's sponsoring or making an outreach call or listening and sharing at a meeting. There's lots I can do to be of service, and I want to do it because it helps me, and it feels good, and strengthens my recovery. And I believe it's my higher power's will to do whatever I can, whenever I can, to help others, especially my fellow compulsive eaters. And on the rare occasion that aimless feeling comes up again, I'm reminded to look for a way to help another compulsive eater. That is my primary purpose, and I'm grateful and honored to do it. Thanks, everyone. Pass.
Thank you, Alex K. Up next is Michelle S., followed by Tanisha B. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Michelle S., recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in Arizona today, Lake Havasu. what's speaking to me is what has been shared on several times now is a few men in the city who have found themselves, and for me that means those of us that have actually finished working through the steps, although not really finished, but have worked through the steps and have discovered the joy of helping others. You get that when you're working the 12 steps, I'm sorry, I looked it up here. I wanted to get the right wording. We tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I love the line, I think for me is the most important, to face life again. So what I'm getting is if I don't do these 12 steps and if I don't find that joy of helping others, that's the only way I can face life again. And then the last line is so hopeful for me. There is no stopping until every single person in that town, in this world, I'd like to think, because this is a international phone call, there's people from all over the world, until every single person has had that opportunity to recover when we are all working these steps and finding that joy. There is no bigger joy when somebody says, oh, thank you, you've helped me so much. 9 times out of 10, I'm like, no, you've helped me. And they've helped me face life again and really live life, feel life, get the joy of life, because I did not have that before these 12 steps and putting this food down and having neutrality around food. So thank you for those that have helped me, and God willing, I'll be there for to help others. Pass.
Thank you very much, Michelle S. Up next is Tanisha B., followed by Luann C.
Hi, it's Tanisha B. Good morning. I'm Tanisha B. from Los Angeles. I appreciate this concept to be able to share on it. I myself have struggled with that sense of just not belonging, feeling alienated in the world, and feeling like everyone could see why I was struggling except myself. And I can definitely just agree that, you know, and I would have that feeling both in and outside of program. What does work is being of service, sharing at meetings and being part of, and sometimes it's hard to push myself to do those things, but that's one of the key things that does help me both in a community, whatever community I'm in, being of service does make a big difference. But for someone like me, I still had those challenges within the community that I live in, where I just didn't feel a part of. That sense of belonging was not there. And it's a big trigger for me. And putting the food down and working the steps, staying close to my higher power, what that's allowed was helping me to see what that defect is, or that neurological difference in my case was coming to learn that I had those differences, and my higher power helped me to become aware and learn about how I individually navigate through this world and who I am. And the more I got to know who I am and what my challenges are, I could show up more authentically and work on those issues with outside help. And just learn what my capacity is for people, and using the program and making those 10-step calls, all of those things help me work through those issues that I have in process, and getting all the help I need so that I can connect better to myself. And when I'm better connected to myself and my higher power, that's when I can connect better to others. And there's still going to be challenges because I'm still learning. I'm living in a human world. It's not always going to be easy, but it's so much better than where I was, where I would just check out, numb out on food, be in isolation, be in the darkness, be within myself, be in the secrecy of the struggle, and being alone in it was not going to work for me. That is a path to death. And I am super thankful for my higher power allowing me all these healing opportunities, both inside and outside the program, so that I can better connect with myself, God, and others. And I'll pass on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tanisha B. from, I think you said California. All right. Up next is Luann C. We'll see if we have time for one more share after Luann. Good morning, Luann.
Hello. Thank you, Mo. Thank you, everybody. I'm Luann, retired in Boise, Idaho. What I loved about this paragraph was the first share where they were talking about it as being our job. And every morning, I just love it when we're saying this serenity prayer, because I can hear these layers upon layers of voices. And I feel like we're this little army going out there. And I envision us, you know, just around the time clock, getting ready to punch in. And Lois, Bill's wife, said this thing once: we can play a large part in saving a troubled world from itself. And I think, wow, talk about getting called in for overtime these days. And, you know, how do we do that? In the paragraph, helping others to face life. And this program, I love it because it's a practical action approach to life that I can just do and face each problem one day at a time. And today I'm at, around 8 months of abstinence, and to hear that 8 years is possible, it was so inspiring to me, because that I can have this for the rest of my life, one day at a time, for sure, with God's help and your help, but that it's possible just to live this life going forward is just so, I'm just so filled with happiness. I'm so happy. All right, everybody, have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks, Luann C. Well, we have time for about a 2-minute share if somebody would like to take that.
Larry G.
Okay, Larry, you got it. Ah, oh, sorry, Annabelle. Come back tomorrow.
Oh, let Annabelle have it. That's, I'm good with it. Let Annabelle have it.
All right. Okay, I'll Annabelle. All right. Thank you very much, Larry.
Thanks, Larry. My name is Annabelle. That's really nice of you. And I am in recovered in the state of Washington. I'm so grateful for this paragraph. You know, there's something that I didn't hear many people share about in this paragraph, and that is where it says, where is it? Soon after Friends Galore, experience of more than half of approach will become fellows when a few men have found themselves. A few men in the city have found themselves. And it just made me think about, I had no idea who I was when I came into this program. And it talks about, I remember in your 20s, you always go, my friend went to Europe to go find themselves, or they went to go to some, you know, monastery and whatever to find themselves. And I just didn't even understand what that meant. And when I worked the steps, and each time I worked the steps, especially the fourth step, the fifth step, well, all the steps, I get to find out more and more who God made me to be, what my purpose here is. And so I'm finding myself out, and it's like this joy of discovery, like not finding out what a crappy person I am, but finding out my own passions and what God put in my heart. In other words, my will is becoming more aligned with God's will. And there's just such a freedom in that, because my will used to be just like, what can I do to get out of life? Who's there to serve me, and who's there to be in my way to get what I want? But I really didn't know what really Annabelle needed and wanted. So learning that and finding myself, and then being able to share with others how to do the same through working these steps and getting all the crap and the disease out of the way, we can be free to actually align our will with God's will. So that's all I wanted to share. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you very much, Annabelle Z and Larry, for giving her space. All right. Thank you, everyone, for your shares today. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I'll now ask Shelley E. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggested only. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater
Eater, I'm so sorry, in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 166. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service with my pastor.
Thank you.